Welcome to you, my friend. You're listening to the DTFH. It is a joy. I wish you a happy feast of Barnabas. We just finished doing our celebrations. Could not find a Barnabas chicken anywhere. We went to Whole Foods. We went to HEB, a couple of markets downtown. Impossible to find. And I don't want to dive in the conspiracy rabbit hole, but people are saying that right now there is active suppression of the Festival of Barnabas and that Barnabas chickens with their signature bright red beak and fluffy tails are being bought up by overseas conglomerates and incinerated, which not only is offensive to those of us who follow the ways of Barnabas, but also just to life itself. My God, we don't incinerate Barnabas chickens. We dissolve them in a very powerful acid that instantaneously vaporizes them, and they experience no pain. In fact, many say that the Barnabas chicken experiences a kind of transcendent ecstasy upon dissolution, that ecstasy being so powerful, in fact, that it reunites the Barnabas chicken with the Godhead, causing the Barnabas chicken to instantaneously discard all previous karmas that led it to birth as a Barnabas chicken. Now, I don't want to get into some deep philosophical debate here, but a lot of people say to be born as a Barnabas chicken means that you were a saint in your previous incarnation, and others say it's just dumb luck. You are a chicken. Chickens, according to just basic statistics, anyone who's been to any chicken aviary and watched reproductive patterns of chickens knows that from some time to time you get a Barnabas chicken. Now, I would argue that natural selection, to me, it seems like because there's such a high value on any Barnabas chicken, especially these days, just through breeding, we would have more Barnabas chickens. And yet this is one of the great mysteries of the Barnabas chicken. You cannot breed a Barnabas chicken. Barnabas chickens are sterile, meaning they can't reproduce, which is fucking crazy. So how it happens, I don't know. Is it they did something great in a past life, thus allowing them to be dissolved in the tears of Barnabas? Don't know. But I do know this. There is a war on the Feast of Barnabas right now, and it just seems to be part of a general sort of cultural arm wrestling match that's happening right now between two disparate paradigms. Normally, I don't get into this sort of thing, but I just think from an anthropological perspective of sort of let's just look at what's going on, put our hands on the railroad track, feel the vibration, feel the train a-coming so that we can remove our bodies and the bodies of our lovers from the track, because there's nothing like banging on a railroad track. Johnny Cash, one of his first songs. Now, as many of you probably know, Pete Hegseth is Donald Trump's pick for defense secretary. And whenever you get chosen by the president to get one of these high-level jobs, essentially be running the whole fucking military, billions and billions of dollars. And we know that of all the branches of the U.S. government, the one that is the most cost-efficient and keeps track of spending is the military. They say the military has never lost a single dime. All that money accounted for. And when sure, you're the military. You could, like, you know, be in a rush when you're ordering bullets on Amazon and order, like, premium high-priced next-day bullets. But the U.S. military, when they're ordering weapons from Bezos, from Amazon, they never use same day or even next day. They use the most, they time it out. So anyway, the point is they save money when they buy weapons. I'm just saying all this because it's a huge, it's essentially you're an accountant if you get this job. And so that's why they're going to grill your ass to make sure that you are going to stay on top of all of that money, just so much money, like more money than anyone has ever had access to in the history of the human race. And the temptation there, of course, if you were in any kind of position of power, especially what Hegseth could potentially be in what position Hegseth could be in, you know, one might think, my God, like once you realize that you could just move a couple of numbers around and not only your family, but generations of your family will eternally have wealth, land, principalities, and no one will notice. No one will give a shit. In fact, people kind of expect you to do it if, you know, from a cynical perspective. So you got to grill these people. And Heg Seth is on the smoker right now. And I want to play just a quick exchange that happened with Pete Hegseth.
Consult with the president about what the...
What's her name? Glenador. Oh, what's her name?
Elizabeth Warren.
I thought it was Glenador of the North Forest. Go ahead, let's play it.
In other words, you're quite sure that every general who serves should not go directly into the defense industry for 10 years. You're not willing to make that same pledge?
I'm not a general, Senator.
You'll be the one, let us just be clear, in charge of the generals. So you're saying sauce for the goose, but certainly not sauce for the gander.
I would want to see what the policy of the president is.
Oh, I'll bet you would.
Thank you.
Oh, now Glenador, she, by the way, and I'm not trying to muckrake here, did she get slightly owned at some semantic level? Yes. But again, I'm not trying to be partisan here. Glenador has been accused of mishandling her elf servants and broke the pelvis of one, apparently. Did you hear that?
Oh, no.
Yeah, the water gatherer apparently was late to a dinner party she was having. And she, according to many people who were there catering, of course, the people eating there aren't going to say shit, but two of the caterers reported to Vulture that they saw her pick the poor little guy up and just smash him into these stones beneath her dining table, and that no one helped, that he kind of, you know, weeping, pulled his way across the floor, left like a blood trail. He is recovered.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah, but Jesus Christ, if you're doing that to the point is, you know, a lot of folks in positions of power right now are probably not treating the beings that they summon or capture kindly. So I'm just going to say that. It's not a partisan statement at all. But with Hegseth, though, you know, that's just the tip of the iceberg. And I stumbled upon this article on Apple News, which is absolutely insane. You know, it really does. We were talking about this earlier. Everything is changing. It just feels like everything is changing. And, you know, when 5 years ago, I never would have expected to read this article. Senator Hegseth shifts focus with mystical tale during controversial hearing. In a surprising turn at a recent hearing, Senator Pete Hegseth responded to allegations of misconduct with a vivid recounting of a mystical experience. The session focused on accusations of gooching from Hegseth's high school years. When asked about the allegations and to specify what gooching meant, Hegseth responded, "When I was in high school, it was a common thing to approach a friend from the back and poke his anus with your finger. This was called a gooch. You would yell out, 'Gooch,' and they would jump, and then they would owe you a gooch." Hegseth apologized for any gooching he's been accused of and shared an account of a backpacking trip in northern India. This is where it gets fucking weird. Did you hear about this?
I just want to know, was he a thumb guy? Because that's not appropriate.
They didn't ask, but I do agree with you. Like, yeah. That should have been a question. I mean, you know, the problem is this. I don't want to seem ageist here, but I'm certain that a certain generation of senators, of our representatives, have no idea what a gooch is. They probably have another name for it.
Like perineum.
A ham bone or something, but they don't know what a gooch is. You know, I guarantee Mitch McConnell has no idea what a gooch is. And like, if he was gooched when he was younger, he's forgotten it. It's like gone in the dust of his mind.
He seems more like a goocher.
Nah, he seems like a gooch. I mean, like, because it's just the face he would make.
True.
The gooch face, which, you know, again, I'm not condoning that. No one should gooch. It's horrible. It's a terrible habit. Don't do it. It's Like, it's assault. That's what it is. But again, he was in high school. When I was in high school, you're lucky if you could get down the hall to lunch without 15 gooches.
Yeah.
You know, or gooching revenge gooches, because if you don't pay the gooch back, you will get more gooches. Like, and you have to gooch in a way that stops it. So word gets around. Like, don't gooch him. You know, I'm not saying that I fisted once, but that was the last of my gooching attacks.
I wore special underwear during high school, so.
Oh yeah, that the chromium.
Yep.
Chromium field, chromium force field, the G.I. Joe thing. It was like ungoochable. It was goochable.
Yeah.
If your friend knew what he was doing, there was a way you could gooch. It's terrible when they figured that out. I wore those too. I'm going to admit it. I'm wearing a pair right now, to be honest. They're comfortable. Let me jump back into this. Okay, yeah, this is where it gets weird. When asked about the allegations, Hegseth instead shared an account of a backpacking trip in northern India. I saw a hooded figure who motioned for me and gestured towards the sheer wall of a cliff, he recounted. I shrugged, turning towards the cliff, and the hooded figure gooched me harder than I had ever been gooched in my life. Now, this is where it gets completely nuts. The hooded figure said, "So begins your teaching." Hegseth continued, "This led me to the monastery of Ming Nong Tong, an ancient sanctuary hidden from the world. Hegseth described the monks there as guardians of a message of love, detached from physical and egoistic identities. They've preserved this wisdom since the time of a great flood," he explained, emphasizing the importance of transcending material concerns. In a lighter moment, Hegseth added, "I was shown that what we think of as our bodies are just action figures. We are like He-Man, constantly battling Skeletor, who represents our ego." The hearing saw heated exchanges as Senators Bill Chomps, Mitch Horowitz, and Chairman Mao Zedong pressed for clarity on the misconduct allegations. Yet, Hegseth remained focused on his spiritual message, saying that in the same way, he eventually lost interest in his He-Man collection. An adult must realize that the action figure of bodily identification must be released for true happiness to be achieved. And that by turning one's focus from the worries that most people who are completely attached to their identity are obsessed with and towards the transcendent divine, the Atman, as he called it, or the witness, or as he said in Buddhism, is often called emptiness. From this simple shift in attention, one no longer needs the humanist writings, the scriptures, or anything, because those people who wrote those scriptures were completely tuned into divine consciousness. And thus, by turning to the divine, one immediately not only understands everything written in all great scriptures, but becomes the scripture itself. Like, that I did not expect.
No.
From Hegseth. I've seen him on Fox. Don't know that much about him. Seems like a nice guy. But then I took a deeper dive, because I was interested in, like, okay, who is this guy? Like, what's his story? He was in the military, but I guess during some time out of the military, he just went up to northern India and, like, was gone. No one could reach him. They thought he disappeared. And he emerges, and then suddenly he's like, Trump is like, okay, here's a job for you, which is really weird. Now, he painted and has done like a whole series, which you can find at the Guggenheim, actually. With another crazy thing, he's a very well-respected artist. Like, a lot of people are saying he's like this kind of, like, I don't know, outsider artist, sort of H.R. Giger, you know, meets Basquiat, or I don't know. Like, I don't get into modern art that much. You know, to me, this seems kind of unfinished, but... yeah, this is like the drawing of one of these beings that contacted him. He apparently, like, in this monastery, there were all of these like bulbous caterpillar watching creatures that he said would spray out a kind of yellow slime that the monks who wore these insane looking headdresses would then rub onto your perineum. and Gucci, and that he doesn't know if this was actually their tradition or if via some telepathic connection to his past, they used his Gucci misconduct as the mechanism of transferring this information, also known as the Dharma transmission. No one knows. It's up for debate, but I mean, what a wild time. I mean, what do you think, man? You know, I think if we...
Are dry eye symptoms frequently interrupting your day? Keep dry eyes off your schedule with Refresh Reliva PF Extra Lubricant Eye Drops, offering an advanced formula to soothe and hydrate your eyes. With innovative hydrocell technology to lock in moisture and prevent further irritation, Refresh Reliva PF Extra gives you lasting relief. Equipped with a soft-squeeze multi-dose bottle featuring a double lockout system that keeps drops sterile so you can feel confident using it. Refresh has been delivering relief from dry eye symptoms for 35 years. It's a track record of success that has earned the trust of physicians and patients alike. You deserve relief from your dry eye symptoms, and your eyes deserve extra. Find Refresh online or in the eye drop section at all major retailers, FSA and HSA eligible.
Get too caught up in like day-to-day life, our bodies, our families, the worries of everyday life, then for sure, the more caught up in that you get, the more you believe that your life, your individual life is more important than everyone else's life, or you sort of forget the holistic view of the human identity as being like a transient sort of melting sentient candle that gradually degrades into a sort of dementia or, you know, sudden death or whatever, thus irrelevantizing the general like normie pursuits, money, fame, fucking nice house or whatever. And it's kind of like being in a airport and like, you know, spending all your money on shit in an airport gift store, which is overpriced garbage most of the time. You know what I mean? So yeah, that, like, to fixate too much on the identity and then sort of shift your attention to the watcher or the thing that, you know, the awareness of your thoughts versus your thoughts, the awareness of your body to God is what some people call it. Don't you feel like that could be an easy excuse to just bail on responsibility?
Yeah, because the mundane scares people. And that's, I mean, I don't think any, for example, you said buying something at the airport that's cheap, who am I buying it for? You know what I mean? That's the important thing, who I'm buying it for.
There you go.
And how they feel about that. And this Gucci thing, my wife and I have been playing that game since we started dating. And we both Gucci each other when we're doing dishes, inappropriate times in the middle of a grocery store.
Yeah.
The reason I brought up the thumb thing, she's a thumb person. I don't like it. It's too evasive. Gets too high up there.
Too invasive.
Yeah.
The thumb is, I that's just a general, like, savage.
Yes.
That is like if, I don't know, man. That just feels like if, okay, picture this, a time travel movie. They open up a portal and someone, like, I don't know, like a Neanderthal or like, you know, an ancient human is teleported into the modern world. And it seems like that's how they would gooch, how the Neanderthal would gooch. It seems like how, you know what I mean? Like,
just, and a Neanderthal thumb has some girth on it.
That's, well, yes. Yes. Yeah. That's one of the reasons they say, you know, there was a war between the Neanderthals and Homo sapiens. Did you know that?
Yeah. We're 3% Neanderthal.
Yeah. Because we banged some of them too. But, yeah. This is one of the theories of why we took them out, is their gooching practice. It wasn't just that they would thumb gooch. It's that their thumbs were gigantic and that it caused, like, it could cause internal injuries.
Tears.
tears, rips. What was the name of that? Did you ever see that crazy video? Oh, God, it's gone now. I watched it, Mr. Hands.
No, I haven't seen that one.
So this is like before the sterilization of the internet. And though you could still find horrific shit, obviously, on the internet, you just have to work a little harder mm-hmm. to find it. But in those days, you didn't have to work at all. You wanted to see somebody getting their claws ripped out by a falcon. You were like one click away, easy to find. But this was I think they did a documentary on it because the video went viral. And so this is a dude who lets a horse mount him. Mm-hmm. And the horse kills him, basically, via internal injuries. And
I remember this video now.
You saw it.
The sleeve came out, is what it looked like. By sleeve, I mean internal sleeve.
Yes.
And that caused nightmares because I was in college. I'd never seen anything like that.
No, well, because this is a glimpse of such depravity that it's almost incomprehensible. It is sort of like H.P. Lovecraft, Eldritch. This is like, how do I put it? It's like Euronymous Bosch. Pull up Euronymous Bosch. Good luck spelling that. Oh. It's going to take 20 minutes, dude. It's a H, starts with an H, Euronymous Bosch. His name sounds like the way his paintings look. Now, just go to images. We'll look up the Garden of... This is his most famous one, Garden of Earthly Delights. Yeah, pull that shit up.
This one or this one?
Let me see that. No, the demonic looking one, two over, right there.
Oh, this one?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Pull that up. Does it enlarge? What the fuck? There it is. Okay. Can you zoom in on that at all?
Yeah.
Anyway, this dude, like, look, what's going on there? Just don't even move it. Here you've got what appears to be some kind of violin. The guy's turning it, and he's got some kind of bowl, and he's being gooched. Look, do you see what I'm pointing at, Josh?
This one right?
He's like on a mandolin.
Yes, right.
See that?
Yeah.
Yeah. So he was trying to sort of embody ultimate depravity, which. It's kind of hilarious that with humans, like putting something in your bum.
That guy's diving in his butt, though. Look, see how he's like ready to dive in.
Oh, he's about to dive in.
Wow.
Yeah. So Bosch had some butt issues. His mom got weird when she changed his diaper. But the point is, every once in a while, because of our access to the activities of our entire species, which is brand new, we never had it. And also the bizarre compulsion some people seem to have. Not just to like do some of the craziest shit that would probably make Euronymous Bosch be like, dude, I'm putting that in my painting. That is fucking incredible. But to film it. So it's this exhibitionist kink. Like it's paired kinks. It's like take kink X and also the person's an exhibitionist. And this is the birth of amateur porn, basically. This is where suddenly you're watching things that based on your cultural conditioning, seem like something if you were wandering in, I don't know, the first level of hell, you would look at them like, yeah, makes sense. And that's what Mr. Hands was. Mr. Hands, what was so horrific about Mr. Hands, because there's a lot of different levels to it. Obviously, the bestiality level and the training.
Oh, I know of the horse. Oh, shit.
Right. So the horse, instead of getting to gallop outside and ride, is like in some dark shed. You know what I mean? Just yeah. Like, just like constantly being invited to, you know, to cross a special boundary. I'm trying to couch my words here. And you know, that's gotta feel so weird for the horse because you don't. You probably initially like, you know, in the same way when I see like a horse's ass, I'm not like, damn.
Yeah.
I gotta fuck that. Like, I'm sure when a horse sees like a human ass, it just think how small it seems to it. Think how shriveled, how emaciated, how weak. You know what I mean? Just how generally repugnant. No fur. right? But then somehow you realize, well, if I do it, they give me carrots.
Yeah.
And you've probably had conversations at night with your friends in the stable. Like, dude, they want to give me so many carrots, but it just seems fucked up. Like aside from the fact it's like gross, I'm pretty sure like just sizing this creature up, man, they're, I don't know how they survive this. And then probably one of the horses is like, they don't. They don't. And so, yeah, you know, there's a practice that Shaolin monks do. Have you heard of this shit?
Mm-mm.
They fucking punch boulders. Did you know you can like, they punch, the way they train is they punch into, I think I heard buckets of sand. They start punching sand. Essentially, they like do the thing that happens when you learn to play guitar to their...
They callus their knuckles.
They callus the shit out of their hands. And then yeah. They also learn some way of striking that just, I don't know. Who knows? It looks like magic to me. Chi energy. I don't know. But they can just, they can like punch through a boulder.
Oh, that's the guys that put like a blade at their throat and then bend the wooden, whatever, the spear.
Yeah, they do crazy shit like that. And, but, so the, you know, obviously the... What they've taught us is not just like you can have a tough ass hand and you can like punch boulders in half. They taught us, I mean, you know, if you could do that to your hand, you could do it to any part of your body.
Mm-hmm.
Meaning you could do a completely different type of training with your manhood. You could theoretically, as a horse, via some divine inspiration, some intuition, train. You know, you're stuck in this situation. You love carrots. You're getting increasingly disgusted and pissed off. And so you train at night. You train at night. So it's not just like size. It's this thing is essentially like a billy club. And then that was revenge that we witnessed on the Mr. Hands video. When you saw that happen, that is pure revenge. And I guarantee that was the last time Mr. Hands had to do that job.
I don't know, because it's like when
it's a
people
Disney movie.
Find out.
It's the next Disney film. It's like the new Dumbo.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's beautiful. It's a story of liberation. God, that'd be fucking incredible. Who would play Mr. Hands? The Rock.
Oh, God. I
Mr. Hands as The Rock, and you just have to show him, like, you know, classic Disney thing, young Mr. Hands running with his parents. They run by a nudist colony. What's going on? Why are those humans so gross and naked and humping out in the sun? Just run, son, just run. Ah, father. Lasso. They get away. He's pulled in. Then that's when the training starts. And then he meets another, I don't know, it can't be a horse. It's got to be like a bluebird or something that comes to his door and teaches him.
He's part of Charlotte's Web, and it's just from the horse's point of view.
Oh, it's just Charlotte's. It's like the perspective of the spider. Like, what the fuck barn is this? Like,
yeah, what does this horse do?
What am I watching? This is so... Well, anyway, the point is that, you know... That video, the reason it froze into our minds was because of the sound he made.
Yes. Yep.
And it was, I mean, there's no way to describe the sound.
Guttural.
It was a guttural, it was like, you know, it was like just the sound of like someone's soul getting humped out of their mouth. Like it pushed his soul out of his mouth, basically. You hear his soul leave his fucking mouth. Like, Jesus, get me out of here. This is so fucked up to have this karma. I can't believe I'm embodied in a dude who likes to get banged by horses. What the fuck, man? Why did I pick this incarnation? But anyway, what I'm saying is, you know, it seems to me that the idea that you should find a way to not be so obsessed with your own fucking life, that if you really look at your obsession with your own life, it's interesting early on. Like in your 20s, kind of being obsessed with yourself. You're still new-ish. You're still in. You have all this new freedom. There's something interesting about the situation, confusing, but you know, as you get older, it's a little bit like chewing gum for a long time. But the gum's your identity, and like you've done all the loops in your head. You know the recurring thought patterns. You know the dramas you inevitably get enmeshed in, and it does feel a little bit like when I used to play with G.I. Joes. Do you remember the trance state that would happen with action figures?
Yeah, it was a real, like, you'd, with my little brother, we'd get into actual arguments because the world we created, you know, it's so real to us.
Yes. Like, that's, I don't think, my kids are lucky because I remember that trance state. And, like, I think some parents don't remember, or maybe they weren't lucky enough to even have that trance state. But, like, this is before internet. This is before video games. So this is what you had, that in books. And dude, the dramas that would unfold in my own head, you would hold these fucking figures and have full on conversations with them. And like the world would just sort of disappear around you. And you were really embroiled in this thing that you were just summoning up with your brain. And so that is, what is the difference between what we were doing then and what we're doing now, other than that we can't see what's holding the action figure? You know what I mean? Like, we're so embroiled in this drama that we have become completely oblivious to whatever might be witnessing the drama. We're just in the drama. And so, like, the more you get embroiled in the drama, the more sticky it becomes, and the less likely you are to have that glimpse of like, wait, I'm watching all of this. There's a part of me that's just watching this play out. I'm not, though I am in the world, though I am arguing online, though I am neurotically obsessed with AI, there's another part of me that just seems to be watching the whole situation unfold. Completely unaffected, not touched at all, just watching, almost infuriating in its impervious quality. You know, like, so don't you think it makes more sense to just sort of like begin focusing on that thing, right? Or no?
No, yeah. I think as children, we're innocent, so we don't know anything about the world, so we imagine these horrible things. I remember playing with my G.I. Joes. Everything was murder, and I killed, they killed everybody. This, and as you get older, you just want to be safer. So we get more and more entrenched in our own life, not necessarily because we think we are literally the center of the world, but we just want to be safe, and we don't want to think, listen, don't bother me, and I have my truth, and let me live this truth. Everybody has their truth.
Yeah.
And it's like, there is the truth, and you just don't want people to burst your little bubble. You know what I mean?
Right.
And so we play safer and safer and safer. And to let that out, we go online and we say this horrible shit to each other, because now you feel like I feel. Yeah. Fuck you. Yeah, that feels better. And it's just, we need to go back to playing with our G.I. Joes and getting out this murderous rage.
Yeah, well, this is the sort of, I don't know. Honestly, how much time people spend thinking about like the nature of awareness, you know, you have that moment on mushrooms, maybe a lot of people have it on psychedelics. You just sort of, it's remembering it's really a lot like, it's adjacent to, you ever been knocked unconscious?
Yes.
Okay. What happened?
I don't remember being knocked out, but I remember waking up with a horrible headache.
Okay. You had a concussion.
My uncles and cousins would get drunk and high and box me and my older cousin when we were little kids. That was my first time I got knocked out.
Jesus Christ. I feel sorry for them. Your mom must have fucking killed them, man.
No, like, she had no idea until I was an adult. I wasn't going to snitch on
good
them.
Good job.
Yeah.
That is a good, that was really honorable of you.
Well, the bet was never who wins. The bet was how long can I last?
Jesus Christ. Yeah. I bet you could fight. That's like some Spartan shit.
It was some 50-50 shit. I have two left feet, no footwork.
Footwork's the hardest, though.
Yeah, yeah.
That's so hard. It's a big ask when you're getting punched to also dance.
Yes.
It's like, fuck you. Like, on top of, like, just learning how to, like, keep my hands up, I've got to do some kind of bizarre survival dance and be aware of the survival dance the opponent's doing. Jesus, it's too much. Boxing, you know, I bet if you took a pro, not to say they already don't, but if you took a pro boxer, he would learn piano so fast. I wonder how many of them realize they could play piano. Like, if you could box, you could just easily do shit like that.
It's and obsession.
It's obsession. You apply that thing that you apply to boxing to anything. You could. It's like, it is an obsession. It's a weird obsession. It triggers, like, I think it must.
Are dry eye symptoms frequently interrupting your day? Keep dry eyes off your schedule with Refresh Reliva PF Extra Lubricant Eye Drops, offering an advanced formula to soothe and hydrate your eyes. With innovative hydrocell technology to lock in moisture and prevent further irritation, Refresh Reliva PF Extra gives you lasting relief. Equipped with a soft-squeeze multi-dose bottle featuring a double lockout system that keeps drops sterile so you can feel confident using it. Refresh has been delivering relief from dry eye symptoms for 35 years. It's a track record of success that has earned the trust of physicians and patients alike. You deserve relief from your dry eye symptoms, and your eyes deserve extra. Find Refresh online or in the eye drop section at all major retailers. FSA and HSA eligible.
I don't know, because I would never get in a like actual boxing fight, because like I'm clinging to my last brain cells. You know what I mean? I'm just trying to hold on, like the last few fries in a fry box on a rainy day. You know, covering, they're gonna get wet eventually and be slop, and I'll be some drooling, rambling person who can't remember anything. But I just want to hold on. So I'm afraid one good blow in a boxing ring, that would be it, dude. I'd be done. I'd just be done. I'd be stuttering, gone with the wind. But yeah, like, to me, the it's a like, if you look at a lot of what appears to be the cause of a lot of people's suffering out in the world, it disguises itself as world events. A lot of people are suffering because of a perception of world events, because the world is so scary right now. Legitimately, shit's on fire, wars, drones, AI taking the jobs. The whole, this part of the movie is a little excruciating if you're watching what they call the news. So you get kind of wrapped up in that, or it's like mini dramas, like TikTok dramas and stuff. You know, there's all these, so you have the global events, then there's these weird sub dramas between influencers that arise, that which are also weirdly off putting for people who get obsessed with it. They get real passionate about the, like, I don't know, the Neil Gaiman thing. Did you hear about that? You know, Neil Gaiman is.
No, who's that?
He wrote a bunch of great books. He's kind of a beloved writer. And suddenly all these allegations came out that he was like super into BDSM, and that he was like, yeah, I don't know. I didn't read the article yet, but it's shocking. But it would be like Stephen King.
Yeah.
Suddenly being discovered, I don't know, as he's an arsonist. Like, they saw him at the LA fires. He was starting the fires or something, which would be fucking incredible. and horrible, but you know what I mean? Like, whoa. But, you know, there's those sub dramas you get embroiled in. And then you have your day to day sort of dramas, money, family that you get embroiled in. But if you look at the quality, it's the same. It's just like when you got attached to your G.I. Joes. If you look at the hypnotic state you're in when you're about to get vengeance on somebody and really tell them why they're a fucking asshole, that they think they should have that parking spot. Like, if you look at like that and the way you're embroiled in it, there's no difference between that and like when you were doing He-Man and Skeletor.
Yeah.
I'm not saying that it invalidates, but it is a little interesting to like... Like, when was the last time you got a parking spot stolen from you? Name, like, the last three times.
I don't know about the last three times. I know I didn't get it. No, I got towed out of my spot, and I paid for that spot, and okay. A tow truck just came and towed me out, and I felt totally helpless. So
you remember the last three times you got cut off in traffic?
Yes, that happens a lot here.
So you remember every time?
No, I just remember because, I was with my family, and they cut me off to the point where I almost had an accident. Another time it was raining. Another time this person's on their phone and cuts all the lanes. And I was like,
You remember this?
Yeah. Because
I slowly begin to realize I'm just real dumb. I can't remember anything. I thought it was a transcendent quality. I'm like, wait, what?
Well, these are times that where it was scary because it's like you can get in a car accident. So.
I guess the weak-ass point I'm trying to make, and I'm happy that maybe I'm wrong. You know what? I'm happy if, like, I'm projecting my own, mental disintegration onto the world. But I've noticed, a week ago, I don't really remember what I had for lunch, like, last Wednesday. Mm-hmm. Now, that lunch could have meant something to me. Maybe I was really hungry. But I don't really remember the specifics of it. I don't remember how many lunches. God, please don't say you remember all the fucking lunches you ate.
I don't, but this is, okay. I've been practicing this thing, checkpoints. So I'm literally taking a warm shower and I'm like, it was from this podcast. It was like 100 years ago, people weren't taking warm showers, even if you were rich. So it's like, enjoy this warm shower.
Yes.
And then as far as meals, I think of meals. I'm gonna go home and I'm gonna cook this and then I'm gonna make it this way. And
so Tuesday lunch.
Last Tuesday lunch, I don't know, but last
thank you, God.
Yeah. But two weeks ago God. I cooked a nice rack of ribs from my
mother. I remember every brisket I ever made.
There you go.
But what I'm getting at here is like a lot of the things that in the moment seem very important, intense. I mean, think back to the girl. Whoever she is, everyone has one, two, or three, or four. You were obsessed. You weren't sure if she loved you. You hope so. Would this be the one? I can't live without her. Think of that girl, whoever it is. Now, you might be going through it right now, and you're like, this is horrible. Why did you want me to think about her? I just stopped thinking about her. I listened to your podcast to stop thinking about her, actually. But when I think back to those girls I felt, I remember one girl emailed me a breakup email and I literally fell out of my chair. So embarrassing, like a real drama that I was playing out in front of nothingness. No one's in the room. Maybe I'd seen it in a movie. I was so upset and I writhed around. I was so hurt. I'm not saying you shouldn't emote or anything, but when I look back at that, it was like some kind of performative, I don't know, to nobody or everybody or, you know, but I was wrecked. But now that seems less real than like the dream I had last night. You know what I mean? Like these things in the moment feel like you're being crucified, but a few months down the line, maybe a year, depending on the thing, they just become these kind of like foggy, glowy, you know, they weren't fun, but it doesn't impact you the same way.
Distance.
And so from that perspective, the next time you're like going fetal because you get dumped, you have to look at the entirety of the situation, which is you that will eventually feel like an embarrassing moment for you. The thing where you feel like this is like the climax of the tragedy that is my life.
Those are the best jokes, though.
Those are the best jokes. You need them. Mm-hmm. But when you're approaching life as though you're not going to look back on something, if you even do look back on it and think, whatever, then that means you're constantly recreating this stupid drama that eventually gets completely purified by time.
Or rewritten.
Or rewritten in your own mind or by them.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? This points towards like another way of existing in the world, which no one's going to back you up on. Because people want the drama. They want drama. They want to want. They want to be consumed by desire. They want to hurt. They want that feeling of longing. They want that feeling of disappointment. You know what I mean? The people who just, like, all they ever talk about is what disappoints them, what bugs them. They're never talking about anything that doesn't bug them. They're just constantly obsessed with the last disappointment. That's their whole lives. And yet they will never talk about the disappointment they had like 6 months ago. It has to be fresh disappointment or they don't give a fuck. And yet every fresh disappointment, they act like it's the end of the world. Do you know what I'm talking about?
Well, because the mundane is torture.
Ah, the mundane. What's the, you mean the mundane just being like a kind of like smooth sailing, no turbulence, yeah, yeah. Seatbelt lights are off.
The people who don't have that drama and they have conversations, people are like, oh, what's wrong with this person? This person just, they're so boring. It's just like, what do you mean? Because I didn't talk shit about anybody or I'm not telling you about my problems.
Yeah.
It's like.
It seems boring.
Yeah, it seems boring to you. It's just like, all right.
What kind of life would that be if I wasn't constantly embroiled in an idiot drama? Or mentally embroiled in someone else's business, I would be so horrifically bored. That's what they think. They would rather live every day with their little buttholes just tight as a tight as the noose on a hangman's neck. They would rather live with their quivering buttholes tight, birthing hemorrhoids and their amygdalas just wet, dripping wet amygdalas, just pouring cortisol into their bodies, than experience peace.
Peace is scary. Peace is acceptance.
Huh. Yeah. I mean, maybe the problem is like the belief that if you stop buying into the drama as much, then you won't experience joy. Like, I think you're still going to experience, you'll still have conflict. You'll still have drama. It's not like it's going to go away. Your neighbor's still going to be a fucking piece of shit. It's not going anywhere. Your neighbor's still going to like throw his dog shit at your kids when they go by or whatever. That's still going to happen. You don't worry. It's not like the drama goes away. It's just you don't have to be constantly freaked out. Like being freaked out is pretty much like the national identity right now. You're supposed to be freaked the fuck out. Everyone's freaked out. Have you noticed that?
That's why it's becoming more frequent, the things that are supposed to freak us out happening.
Frequent.
Because we're like drug addicts and the tolerance is too high. So now.
We went from like, you know, a casual bump of blow at a holiday party to under the bridge, yellowed fucking meth pipe, mm-hmm. smoking bits of gravel because we're so high, we think maybe, just maybe, it's a crumbled bit of meth that you dropped. That's us. Just mm-hmm. under that fucking underpass, slurping back vodka and watching Sean Hannity and Rachel Maddow
and just Mr. Hands
and Mr. fucking Hands videos. When that doesn't work, that's my phases of doom.
Yeah.
Phase one would be, find something on the mainstream media that's particularly scintillating. Phase two of doom would be play Path of Exile 2. Oh, what a great game. Now that's going to get my amygdala really going, because someone told me the human brain can't differentiate between video games and real life. So when you're playing a video game, the joy you're getting is because your poor, stupid brain is like, oh, we're a fucking witch now. Holy fuck. We got to get a more big, greater energy shield. What are we going to do? You don't have a lightning amulet. And so then that gets you nice and broiled up, and that's when it's time for bed. Even though you're not tired, because your poor brain is like, I guess we don't sleep. How could we sleep right now? I'll take first watch. We'll just stay awake. Don't worry. I'll keep you awake, man. I'm not going to let you sleep. Not after that. After we fought that fucking Act 2 boss. Are you kidding me? That's so hard. This game is so hard, dude. Are we going to have to respect the whole fucking character? And then that's when I go deep. That's when it really starts. Now it's time for 4chan. Now it's time for Reddit conspiracy. Now it's time to just dive into the pits and then pick out the most putrid thing to be afraid of, or a general exemplification of a depraved world. And then you go to bed and start the day the next day. Well, you know, man, to wrap it up, my last real ketamine trip, I had a few after that, but this one broke the spell. I don't know why, but I had a ketamine problem. I went in the K-hole, which I loved. Missed that place. And I had this crazy vision. I was flying down a well. The well was made of Buddhist monks, but they were alive and they were all chanting. And at the bottom of that well, I saw what I thought at the time was the circuitry of reality, created by a divine superintelligence that was completely, that
are dry eye symptoms frequently interrupting your day? Keep dry eyes off your schedule with Refresh Reliva PF Extra Lubricant Eye Drops, offering an advanced formula to soothe and hydrate your eyes. With innovative hydrocell technology to lock in moisture and prevent further irritation, Refresh Reliva PF Extra gives you lasting relief. Equipped with a soft squeeze multi-dose bottle featuring a double lockout system that keeps drops sterile, so you can feel confident using it. Refresh has been delivering relief from dry eye symptoms for 35 years. It's a track record of success that has earned the trust of physicians and patients alike. You deserve relief from your dry eye symptoms, and your eyes deserve extra. Find Refresh online or in the eye drop section at all major retailers, FSA and HSA eligible.
Rakuten is the smartest way to save money when you shop, because members get cash back at over 3,500 stores across every category, including fashion, beauty, electronics, home essentials, travel, dining, and more. Your favorite stores like Lenovo and Wine.com pay Rakuten a commission for sending them shoppers, and Rakuten shares the commission with its members, and that could be you. Cashback is deposited directly into your PayPal account, or if you prefer, Rakuten can send you a check. The choice is yours. You can even maximize your savings by stacking cashback on top of other deals, like store sales and coupons. You're already shopping at your favorite stores. Why not save while you're doing it? Membership is free and it's easy to sign up. Get the Rakuten app now and join the 17 million members who are already saving. Cashback rates change daily. See Rakuten.com for details. That's Rakuten. Your cashback really adds up.
somehow like divinity and simplification or divinity and optimization were like identical. That one quality of it was like pure simplicity, pure optimization, like which would save the most energy. And so in the creation of the reality we're in, I realized that it is the way the circuitry works is, if you are concerned with your own needs and desires and wants, then the circuitry flows towards you naturally. You become a receiver of the energy. The more you stay in that state, the darker your life becomes. And this is how you live in hell. The more selfish you are, the more energy you're drawing from the world around you, the darker things get somehow, almost as though that energy was lighting things up. And you're drawing it all into yourself because you don't understand that, like, that there's a confusion regarding, like, how to experience the divinity. You want to eat it. And so that, and the more you do that, the denser you get or something. And the more dense you become, the less likely you are to change. And the less likely you are to change, the more obsessed with yourself you become. And this produces almost like a neutron star effect. So that's how heaven and hell coexist. That converse, if you the less you are thinking about yourself, and it's not enough to like be a nihilist, but rather the more you're thinking about putting energy out around you, paradoxically, the lighter you become and the more things brighten up around you. And that therefore the simple thing to ask yourself at any given moment is, who am I serving right now? And if you're serving yourself, then ultimately you will not find any real happiness in that pursuit. So the way out of hell is so fucking simple. And then when you think of hell, you realize if any people need help, it's people in hell. The moment people in hell actually started helping each other instead of like screaming, it would no longer be hell. Probably wouldn't be great for a while, but it would instantaneously transform into something completely, an opportunity to like help. Which leads me to something my great grandmother used to say. If you add a P to hell, you get fell. P-H-E-L-L. And she would always say that and she'd pause. You know, obviously, this is my great grandmother. She's very old. And she'd say it at the table and her lead into it would be so long. She would start talking about this star. She called it a black star that was in the heart of every man. And then blah, 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 blah. Great grandmother, Southern family, you're not going to interrupt her, blah, 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 blah. And we would try things. My brother, my sister, she would kick the dog, hoping it would make it yelp and sort of snap my great grandmother out of the thing, but it never worked. But once the dog bit her foot, just to show how intense this was, this is like the fourth Thanksgiving, the last Thanksgiving I spent with my great grandmother.
Every day you moisturize your face, hands, and skin. But what about your dry eyes? It's time they got some attention. With Refresh Optive Mega 3, a lubricating eye drop that instantly moisturizes and soothes dry eyes. This moisture-rich, preservative-free formula is enhanced with inactive ingredients like flaxseed oil and antioxidants. Its advanced formula supports all three tier film layers, and its moisture-locking technology helps prevent further irritation. Refresh Optive Mega 3 is safe to use as often as needed, so you can make moisturizing your dry eyes part of your wellness routine. Get lasting relief with Refresh Optive Mega 3. Find Refresh online or in the eye drop section at all major retailers. FSA and HSA eligible.
Yeah, she tried the dog trick, and you know, I told her, just don't do it. It never works. You just like, the dog just like yelps and it feels worse. So the dog was sick of this shit because she'd been doing this every year. So right when my great-grandmother gets into the, there's a black star in the heart of every man, or did you talk about Ahriman or something? But my sister, she kicks the shit out of the fucking dog. And the dog just turned around and like bit her foot, just like cut through her foot and runs out from under the table. It's got blood all over its snout. My great-grandmother looks at the dog, looks at my sister and says, "That's what you get, bitch." And then like my sister tried to get up. My dad was like, "You will sit there and suffer through this." And then, yeah. Once she said, "Add the pee to hell," you get fell. It's just long pause. And I, to this day, maybe one of you guys know what that means or have heard that before. But can you look up P-H-E-L-L? I never did that. Honestly, should have done that. No one knew. She, right after this, man, she would just cry and cry. Fell. Tamer fell. Fell. It's like bands. Tamer fell. I doubt she knew who Tamer Fell was. Pell Grant. Wait, go back. What's a fellahedron? Maybe that's what she was talking about. Phalandrome. Phalandrium. Phalandrium aquaticum, also known as water dropwort or water fennel, is a plant that is used in homeopathic remedies. It is a biennial plant for respiratory conditions such as bronchitis, emphysema, and she died of emphysema.
Oh, shit.
She had a wet cough. It is also used to treat wet coughs. And the middle lobes of her lungs were completely blasted. Because back in her day, they didn't put water. They still had those big-ass glass pipes, but they didn't put water in the bong. Did you know that?
No.
So they would smoke out of that thing, but they hadn't figured out to put water in it yet. And that's why a lot of like older people have emphysema. Holy shit. So the whole time she was asking for Phalandrium aquaticum and couldn't remember the last name. She just knew fell. Fell, fell. She would point to her mouth too. Fell. She would cough. Fell, fell. Huh. Well, may she rest in peace. I don't have a time machine. Can't go back and give her some weird fucking witch brew, but I can always love her, and I will always love you. Thank you for hanging out with me during this solo episode. We'll be back soon. And if you want commercial-free episodes of this podcast, don't forget to become a member. And also, please like and subscribe. Gang, we have got to get moving here. I need exponentially more subscribers if I'm going to get even close to beating Mr. Beast, who is like somehow still adding subscribers. And it's interesting. We'll cover this in the next solo episode. But if you look at the number of people on planet Earth with access to internet technology and the number of subscribers he has, I think he has more subscribers than that. So we'll dive into that conspiracy next week. Until then, fell.